Tell the stars fall from the sky, and at the end of night.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam territory. Learn how to get involved at CITR.ca.
Case.
Millin' is safe.
I need a view. Yo. It is March 28th here in the year of our Lord 2019. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. And that opening song was Pineapple City with I Need a Coupe. It is still Women's History Month. It is the last Thursday in Women's History Month. And listen, ladies, if you're listening, go out and get you all the things that you deserve. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from the most western part of Vancouver, Canada, Pacific Spirit Park, here from UBC's campus. And if you've never listened to the show, what we like to do here, we like to do lots of things. This is my time. We just really like to get people informed to not only what's going on here locally in the Lower Mainland, but what's going on nationally, what's going on internationally to our friends down south, and then all over the world. Listen, we have people listening from all over. We got people listening in England. We got people listening here in Vancouver. We got people listening in Maryland. My homie, Mr. Brown, got his class listening from Eastern Middle School. So, if anybody would like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. Hey, listen, I can't guarantee I'm going to put you on air because you might say something ridiculous. But if you don't, we can have a conversation. So what we like to do is sometimes we have the special guests on here. Sometimes those special guests happen to be my friends. Sometimes it's just some really, really smart people who I didn't know before. And a lot of times we have some creatives. Next week we will have, there is a photo competition and that I plan to enter and have the director on there talking about it, how it got started. I don't really have anything going on this week, except for the fact that I got put in Twitter jail last night for something I believe to be absolutely ridiculous. And I never really understood how frustrating being put in Twitter jail could be, because I see it happens to people all the time. 10 years on Twitter. It's the first time it ever happened to me. And I protest, and I shall appeal this to the highest courts, because I don't think that it was fair. Considering I was gonna play a song this morning that kind of represents, you know, a reason of why I feel like I was put in Twitter jail. Was if I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones, and if you do, I'm probably going to spoil it for you. I mean, if you don't and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to catch up. You know, I promise I'm going to catch up before season starts. It's too late. It's too late. I'm sorry. And I got put in Twitter jail for basically saying that somebody was ridiculous. This individual said that Ned Stark is still alive. And I said, nah, he got his head yapped off. You are basically an idiot. And I was reported. And I don't really feel like that was report worthy, because everybody knows that Ned Stark's head was put on a spike. And last night I had just, like, what I'm trying to do is I personally am trying to watch all the episodes of significance leading up to the premiere. And so yesterday I watched the season finale of season two. So if you don't remember, that is when basically Theon gets hit in the back of the head and sold to the Boltons. That is when Daenerys Targaryen first finds out that her dragons can breathe fire. And that is also when Robb Stark gets married, because he, too, like this individual who told me that Ned Stark is still alive, is an idiot. But I could talk about Game of Thrones forever. Like, I could have a whole radio show about Game of Thrones because that would have been a cool concept to have a whole radio show about Westeros and, like, you know, maybe like a SportsCenter style show. But too bad I didn't think of that, you know, years ago. And now I'm just here talking to you about the news. And when we start with the news, we'd like to start with the weather here in British Columbia. We have this weekend's going to be beautiful with a high of 15. Throughout the weekend, mostly sunny. And for you people who don't know what 15 feels like, that is about like 60 degrees. But like 60 and sunny here is choice. And it's not looking for rain until next Tuesday, but then next Thursday through the rest of the week will be rainy. So if you enjoyed the weather last week and last weekend, you should enjoy this weekend, because next weekend won't be so pretty. And that's that for the weather. So let's just jump right into what's going on here in BC. I feel like if you listen to the show regularly, what you know is that British Columbia really has three main topics that it discusses for the news pretty much weekly or monthly or whatever, how long you believe. And those topics are homelessness, drugs, and housing. And so you can kind of think that they're all pretty much related, but in the most recent, I say in the past 2 months, they've added a real fourth topic, and that fourth topic has been vaccinations. And it's especially crucial because what you have seen here in British Columbia is that people just have a propensity to believe just anti-vaxxers. I don't know if that is because, you know, Vancouver is just very granola, and there's just lots of things that people believe here. You know, that, for example, apple cider vinegar can cure like 99% of diseases. Now, I used to not be a believer in apple cider vinegar. However, it does work. So, you know, if you have any ailment, you should just have like a half a cup of with water. And I don't know, look on the internet. However, it works. But anyways, there's so many different like naturopathic remedies that people believe here, that people go to first, that it's not surprising that people here have like a high propensity to believe in anti-vaccination propaganda. But that does, still doesn't make it as dangerous. So there's a poll in cbc.ca you can go check out that shows that nearly 10% of residents here in BC are anti-vaxxers. And if you don't know, that puts a real strain on what like herd immunity looks like, because what herd immunity is, we've talked about this before, is that it relies on mostly everyone to be vaccinated so that the people who aren't able to be vaccinated can still be protected by the herd immunity. When you don't have that critical level of people who are vaccinated, what you end up having is individuals who are susceptible to the disease and maybe might not get sick but can carry the disease, or you know, and bring that to people who are particularly vulnerable. And so not only does 10% have completely follow an anti-vaccination ideals, but there's nearly 40% of people who are skeptical about vaccinations. And I find myself like in that skeptical, like I have just have a hard time trusting the government really with anything, and particularly anything that has to do with capitalism and the idea that, you know, someone is getting rich off of the off of us taking more and more vaccines. But for me, particularly in this instance, the risk is worth the reward. Like, I don't want to get polio, and I don't want my friends to get polio, and I don't want my friends' kids to get polio. So you know what that means? I probably should get vaccinated for polio. You know, measles, I don't really know what that's like. I don't really want to know what it's like, but I am glad that I was vaccinated for the measles. I don't really feel like that is up for debate or discussion. However, last night, You know, sometimes I like to get on Instagram and argue with people on the internet. You know, Facebook. I used to like arguing with people on Facebook, but people write such long responses on Facebook that I'm like, you didn't even write this long in school. Like, I know you as a real in real life. Like, you've never written an ECR in your life, but yet here you are writing five paragraphs, you know, with an introduction and a conclusion about why you believe vaccinations are harmful to people. And you, sir or ma'am, who failed biology, just not going to believe you. Just flat out not going to believe you. But then in the world where Elizabeth Holmes exists, like, what is really there to believe, you know? And we'll talk a little bit about her later, because I'm just very fascinated with this idea of the grift. If you listen to the podcast, you know, there's lots of things that I like. The grift, animals, that's pretty much it. Anyways, so thinking about this anti-vaccinations, arguing with people on the internet, and this man was like, yeah, they're about to make mandatory vaccinations mandatory for kids under 18 in New York public schools. Rightfully so. And so somebody was like, I can't believe we live in this fascist state where people are getting vaccines mandatory. And then he's like, yeah, and you can get an abortion up to 9 months. So my natural inclination was to ask him, like, do you also believe that the world is flat? Because, listen, nobody is getting abortions at 39 weeks. And his rebuttal was, there's 7.7 billion people in the world. You don't think somebody is getting an abortion at 39 weeks? Now, with that logic, now, I'm going to tell you why that logic is horrible. There is literally somebody doing everything thinkable on this planet. There's somebody, like, I have watched enough TLC to know that there are people doing everything. I think I've seen on TLC a woman who got off by rubbing balloons against herself. I've seen people who wanted to be babies for their entire life, like wearing diapers and all of that nasty shit. I have seen people eat like their own toenails for like sustenance. It's disgusting. Like there's so many crazy things and so many truthful things that you hear on a daily basis that you just cannot believe that are absolutely true. So listen, you cannot make laws based off of people living in those extremes. However, we can reasonably expect people are not having abortions at 39 weeks. It's just not happening. And not only is it not happening, but the New York state law does not allow for it. And doctors don't allow for it. And if you believe anti-vaccination propaganda and you believe that people are getting abortions at 39 weeks, I believe that we should give you the measles. Just like flat out give it to you. Because I have to suspect that you're probably hanging out with other people who believe the same thing. And you know what we don't need more of those types of people. And like I like to think of myself as a relatively communal, inclusive person. Listen, I do my radio show from CITR. It is literally so inclusive, it's exclusionary to people who aren't inclusive. And yet, that is just not behavior that we can ride with. And plus, we just want to save people. Like, even the BC government has been fooled by some of these anti-vaccination organizations. There's an organization called Health Action Network Society, HANDS, here in BC, and they've collected over almost nearly $500,000 in the past decade for their quote-unquote research against anti-vaccinations, which is really just showing screening documentaries in their office. I have now started to look into how easy is it to get grant money, if you know, out of the provincial or federal government. Because if you can get grant money for anti-vaccinations and having these really vague science claims, you know, and even having, even talking to people into believing that the measles vaccine gives people autism, you can still get money from the government. Listen, you can get money from the government for anything. And I just want to know why I can't get money from the government for my student loans. Because if they're just giving away money, I feel like that is a lot better use of the money. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about why Vancouver will probably never get Uber or Lyft, why that's sad, and we will revisit an old story about a rat found in the chowder. Talk to you soon.
Take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the boots is black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me
back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. We are giving away, I never know how to pronounce her this name, Lee Kelly 47, aka 47. I don't know. She's got some great tunes, and she's got a concert here coming up in a few weeks, and we're giving away tickets. Also, giving away tickets to Tommy Genesis. So if you'd like to snag those, you're welcome to call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And just getting into something that is near and dear to every British Columbian's heart, trying to understand why we do not have Uber or Lyft here so far. So what's to know? We don't have Uber or Lyft. That's not something that we have. It doesn't exist. You have to go outside and hail a taxi like this is 1997 and you are watching you know, Seinfeld, and you're like, man, I wonder how hard it was to live in 1997 when you couldn't just call an Uber from your couch. And then, you know, the car picks you up. And then 20 minutes later, you're sitting on your friend's couch. No, that doesn't happen here in BC. You have to get your lazy ass up, walk your ass downstairs, go and make sure your arm is strong enough so that you can hold it out for about 30 minutes until a cab comes. And what has happened is that the NDP, one of the things that they campaigned on was that they were going to get Uber and Lyft here. And so it's been a long political battle, but it doesn't seem like Uber is ever going to come because there is still a restriction that Uber and Lyft drivers are going to be required to have class 4 licenses, which is a commercial license that currently required to drive a taxi and limo drivers here. And so it is pretty much it's going to make it really hard for people to want to drive for Uber or Lyft. And after learning a few days ago that Lyft is not profitable and Uber is barely profitable and the rides are basically subsidized by investors who are trying to make a ecosystem where these rides, you know, can be possible, they're artificially deflated. So what that means is that even so, when that money runs out, what it costs to take an Uber or Lyft is going to skyrocket, and which could put Uber and Lyft out of business to begin with. So, but basically, Uber and Lyft is not coming to BC because the government is still making it very, very difficult. And it is troubling because, like, if you listen to the show, you know that I also work for a restaurant group here in BC on the weekends. And when you get off of work at like 3 o'clock in the morning or even 2 o'clock in the morning, one of the most frustrating things about getting home, especially in the wintertime, because every other time you can just ride your bike, it's very easy. But like getting home is that you have to hail a cab. And not only is hailing a cab hard because there's just such a few amount downtown, but if you are a single black man at 3:30 in the morning trying to raise your arm to get a cab, guess what's not going to stop? A cab. So you have to wait for like literally the most sympathetic cab driver to drive by and pick you up. Or you do what I do sometimes and you find just almost like any white woman in my vicinity and ask her, you know, can she hail a cab for me? And that works literally 100% of the time. But sometimes there's not a white woman around when you need them. But anyways, let's continue to try to get Uber and Lyft here because it is a human right to be able to get home whenever you want. And I know that it would be easier and more helpful if there was. So we talked a little bit about this before. At Crab Park Chowdery, there was a rat found in the food. There was a viral video that went viral from Pinsun Nini, and she just basically had a video of this rat that was boiled in her bread soup. And it looked real to me. It was investigated that it was real. And the BC's health services have shut down. So a report, which was obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, you were able to see Vancouver's coastal health inspectors report when they visited the kitchen. And so what you see is that the first sentence in the report is that general sanitation was poor. Cockroach sightings, mouse droppings were noted inside the walls of the cooler, inside the walk-in cooler, as well as food preparation storage areas A thick accumulation of rodent excrement and accumulated debris was noted on plumbing lines situated above cooking equipment. Like, that is enough for me to never eat anywhere on that block. Anytime I hear excrement, I'm good. And then you hear a thick accumulation of rodent excrement. That sounds disgusting. And also so visually, so descriptive that I can almost like see what that looks like. And if it's above the cooking equipment, you can only imagine that. If you've ever eaten there before, you've definitely had rodent excrement in your food. So where people, I actually was talking about this last week, where people said that it must have been fake or it must have been a hoax, you know, or it was planned by this girl to, you know, to go viral. I disagree, because I have read the report and it talks about just how it normally looks like when someone is faking a, is faking, you know, like putting something in the food, like shamefully, as a teenager growing up, you know, you don't have a lot of money. So when you go out to eat, sometimes you order more than you can afford. And then sometimes you have to come up with creative ways to try to get out of that food. And knowing the laws, knowing that a restaurant cannot make a server pay for walkouts or pay for meals, you come up with creative ways to make chain restaurants to just eat into, you know, whatever provision that they have for loss. And putting a rat in the food was never thought of as an option. However, you have to know that this rat wasn't put in because it was exposed to a high level of heat and particularly boiled. So knowing that this was not fake. And so one of the things that I think I'll leave with here in BC is that what we see is a lot of posters around about sexual assault, not only just here in UBC's campus, but you see it all over in bathrooms, in bars all over, which I think is great. Just talking to dudes about, you know, just because she swiped right doesn't make it right or something. And I always find that these are very, very weak. I find that they should just say don't rape, or if it's not an enthusiastic yes, then it's a no, bro. You know, things like that, because you need to be more clear than saying if it's not right. I mean, this, it's not right to, you know, not only is, you don't say it's not right, you just say it's wrong. Anyways, but CBC has a article about what to do and how to intervene when you see harassment. And I think that it is necessary, because I saw this story on Twitter where a woman was sitting in an airplane coming from Toronto to Vancouver, and behind her was a teenage girl who was traveling by herself, and there was a man who's sitting next to her who sparked up a conversation, which led to an inappropriate it didn't lead to an inappropriate conversation. He made it an inappropriate conversation, and she spoke up about it to him and to the flight attendant, and he was removed from that seat and moved to another seat. And when you see, this article talks about when you see harassment, what to do. And me, it's something that I see fairly often. I won't say fairly often, but often enough where I say it's at least once a weekend where, you know, I have to talk to a dude or remove a dude from the pub about, you know, because his behavior, particularly towards other women. And it's important that when you see something, especially something that is when you see something, you need to say something. It is helpful if you can do this on your own, but also, you know, sometimes you might not feel safe or you might feel like you need backup, and it's important to know that you should feel comfortable talking to the people around you and say, hey, look at, you know, I see that over there. That's not right. We should do something about it. And then step up and do something, because far too often what we see is that people see things and just turn the other cheek because it's easier to do that. And we need to stop, because everybody around us is worthy of being protected, and nobody should feel like they're alone. So this just basically goes to four steps, which is take actions that you are comfortable with, consider your personal safety, use power in numbers, and practice your responses. And I think those are all valuable. And there's just some things that you're just going to have to be willing to step out there, and it could be potentially embarrassing, and it could be potentially embarrassing to someone that you know and someone that you care about. But you know what is worse than that is letting someone that you know do things that you know that are not right, and eventually, you know, that could lead to potentially worse and worse things. Like there was a guy last week who I know because he comes into the bar all the time. However, a girl said that he made her uncomfortable just standing too close to the bathroom door while she was in it. And the bathroom, and like, it's just, so when somebody comes and tells me that, and I go talk to the individual and his immediate response is getting defensive, then he has to go, because you can't have that type of people around, and people need to know that that behavior is wrong. And so when you see these things in public, whether you're on a plane or on a bus or in school or at a bar or you could just be on the street, anywhere, just step up and say something. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about Donald Trump's what he feels to be an exoneration, what I feel is to be sham justice, and a little bit about what is the presidential race in the United States looking like as it moves forward.
I'm from Illinois.
It's a long line, it's a wait.
this away. Ask me could it take me on a date. I say nigga no, never nate. I'm not in the room, I'm in the lake, baby. Yeah, I'm not in the room. Look at me alone. Got a boy at home. It's a long line, it's a wait. Ask me could it take me on a date. I say nigga no, never nate. I'm not in the room, I'm in the lake, baby. Baby, baby, baby.
Back at Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR for you people who have a hard time remembering numbers. And listen, I'm not trying to make fun of you for not being able to remember numbers, but, you know, some people just have a difficult time, and the letters are easier. So, one of the things that we're thinking about today, particularly on the last day of Women's History Month, is like a topic which my friend, Mr. Brown, brought up, which is that he's teaching his students about, which is wondering if the United States, and I feel like this can be extended to Canada, you know, has really created an environment where the values that they, values in which we talk about, you know, the basically life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and freedom in general, you know, as an overarching theme, you know, have those been afforded to all Americans, you know, and to groups like Black people and women, Mexican Americans, Indigenous people, you know, and the answer is no. I don't know if that is what you know. I feel like for me, you don't have to look very far to see that. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness has been impeded time and time again, you know, in so many ways. So thinking about just this week, NASA had to cancel a historic all-women spacewalk just due to the idea that they didn't have enough spacesuits for women. That is a complete gaffe and oversight, you know, that could have easily have been avoided. And I don't know how easy it is to make a spacesuit, but I do know that they have probably been thinking about this for a long ass time. Like they have been probably discussing it. It just wasn't something that came up on a Tuesday and they were like, oh, well, tomorrow let's do an all-women spacewalk. This is something that had this is something that had been thought about for probably months in advance. And so seeing that they didn't have enough just seems absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, these are some of the ways. I mean, and that's just like a very, very tiny, small way, you know. There have been many instances. I mean, we are still debating about a border wall, you know, across the United States southern border, you know, separating Mexico and the United States, even though it was voted against 420-0. We've seen that that doesn't really matter, particularly when the president has declared a state of emergency and is able to move funds directly from the United States Armed Forces and into a wall separating the border between the United States and Mexico, which isn't going to reduce the amount of migrants that is coming across the Mexican border. It is absolutely a method to create animosity and fear-mongering amongst the base, and it is working. And so what we have seen is that there has been so much like there's so many things that people will do to maintain their bigotry, like the lengths that people will go to harm themselves so that they can keep this facade of superiority, and keep their bigotry. It is actually amazing if it wasn't so horrible. And so I think what we've seen is that it is not stopping anytime soon, especially when the president, you know, the person who, I don't know if he's, I wouldn't say, I don't put this all on Donald Trump, because these things have existed for centuries. And he right now is just the oxygen which the fire is fueled upon. But I mean, after Donald Trump leaves office in 2024, we're still going to have these problems. And I say 2024 because I just don't feel like the Democrats are really invested or have a great candidate, you know, to press him out. But please prove me wrong. Like, I want to be proven wrong on that. Like, I like being right, but that doesn't mean I always want to be right. Like, sometimes I want to be wrong. And so I actively look for those opportunities. And so when you see those types of things, or you hear like the rhetoric that people talk about, you know, when they talk about the issues that are ailing the United States and countries all over, really, because it's really not just the United States. We have seen just last week in New Zealand, the Islamophobia, that, and what does that manifest into? 50 people dead in a mosque, you know, and murdered. And, you know, and so that has happened here in the United States. That has happened in churches, you know, just a few years ago. That has happened in synagogues here in the United States. We have seen on many occasions that this violence has been used as a form of intimidation, and it's not working. Like, you know, we are still here and still strong and still fighting. But to say that those values have been are being practiced now, you know, to the fullest, you know, I think was would be to miss out on, you know, like what is actually going on. And so there's an article on the Atlanta Black Star which talks about the Western expansion of the United States, and talks about how Black Americans went from owning 15 million acres of land to now just barely 1 million acres. And so how this theft occurred, and I think it's well documented on how the theft of Native American land occurred. So when you see, it's like life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness, those assets are a big reason why people are able to pursue those things. And so when you understand history and how these land grabs happened, then you understand that we have a long way to go. Now, as we wrap up the show, we got 10 more minutes, so I don't say we have a long way to go, but we still got a few things to talk about. What we're going to focus on in this last episode is the grift. And so, if you don't know me, now you do. You know that I am fascinated, like many other people, with what is this grift. So a few weeks ago, we talked about Firefest after the documentary came out, and I had one of my friends who went to Firefest come on air and talk about his experience. So talking about, you know, when it was, what it was like to find out about Firefest, you know, how excited it was when he got when he was able to get the tickets, you know, what it was like when he was getting on the plane in Miami, what it was like when he got there, and what it was like to leave. To find out that it was a bunch of bullshit, and then what it was like when he came back, and would he do it again? So if you'd like to listen to that show, it's called The Fire Episode. It happened, I feel like, maybe 5 or 6 episodes ago. You can check it out, the interviews in like the last 20 minutes. It's very entertaining. You can check it out on CITR.ca/offthebeatenpath, or you can find it on Facebook at OTBP20XX, or you can find it on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. Yeah, and so that was the first grift. And so I watched the Theranos documentary last week, which prompted me to listen to the podcast, The Dropout. And so if you don't know the story of Theranos, Theranos was a company which was run by Elizabeth Holmes, who was a Stanford University dropout. And basically over 12 years, she raised over $1 billion for her idea that she could test blood with just like a single drop. Like if you have diabetes, like that pinprick, she could test over like 250 tests. Basically, she never ever made a working machine. It was never even thought about making a working machine. Like she had lied to investors out of $1 billion and really, I find it amazing. Somebody who's able to do that. Just like the next story, but Elizabeth Holmes, so listening to, there's a podcast on ABC called The Dropout. And so it goes into like, talks about like the things in the documentary, but also goes into a little bit more in depth and interviews a little bit more people about just what it was like to be working with her or for her, you know, or be partnered or associated with her. And I think that some people, I think that there are some people who are so bought into the idea of themselves and like their entitlement and like the thrill of getting over, that it makes, that it's like, it's wild. Because they, when you read the stories and you listen to, you know, just like what it would have been like to have been her during that time, you just, there's no way that she could have thought that she was going to get away with this. Like, it is incredible. She had like some of the highest members of the State Department that have ever existed on her squad. And she still follow through with the grift. And so like, if you listen to the story, it's amazing. But also should be like a warning about like, just what does that look like in our other parts of our life where people, when there's like not that much at stake, like the, you see the willingness that people are, the things that people are willing to do to go above and beyond to put themselves in like a different position. Like this man in Lithuania who pled guilty to scamming Facebook and Google out of $100 million. Now, I liked his grift a little more because I feel like Elizabeth Holmes was stealing from people, wealthy people, who a lot of whom who I don't feel bad about, like the Waltons. I think she stole $125 million from them, and she stole $125 million from Robert Kraft, which, you know, looking at Robert Kraft now, you might have felt bad for him before, but now after knowing that he likes to, you know, visit unscrupulous massage parlors, you know, right before the AFC Championship game, you don't feel as bad. But this guy scammed Facebook and Google out of $100 million. And so what he would do, Evaldis Remiskauskas, whatever, I don't know how to say his name. But anyways, he's going to go to prison for a long time because this 50-year-old Lithuanian man, what he would do was he just started sending Google and Facebook random invoices, and they just paid him. And so he would send them an invoice, and they would pay it. And he set up like a fake company where he would route the money through, send an invoice to Google and Facebook, and they would pay it. And the craziest part about it is he probably would have got away with it had he not been so greedy, because he tried to take $121 million from Facebook and Google And he got $120 million and probably spent a lot of that, but he's just greedy. Like, I feel like $2 million, while they probably would have seen it eventually and probably might end up with the same result. He might have still gone to jail for 50 years, so maybe, you know, trying to get $121 million was a thing to do. However, I'm sure Google and Facebook have rounding errors that are, you know, in the tens of thousands of dollars, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So for them to, you know, have $1 or $2 million come up missing might not be as noticeable as $121 million going to some fraudulent computer company in Lithuania. Evaldis, you know, thank you for keeping the hope alive in the grift and thinking that it still might be there. But you know who did notice $1 or $2 million missing? That would be Lonzo Ball's attorney and agent. And so if you hadn't known, the Big Baller brand is now over with, so over with that Lonzo Ball got his tattoo covered, which is sad because we here on Off the Beaten Path were rooting for the Big Baller brand. Not to like be like next Under Armour, or, you know, we thought LeVar Ball was going to be Kevin Plank, but just this idea of disruption and sticking it to the NCAA, and just everybody wants to see an underdog win. And so when you hear something like the Big Baller brand business partner taking out $1.5 million from Lonzo, it just makes you kind of sad because you're like, you know, this could have been cool, but now it's not. And I mean, I'm sure that this probably has things to do with family issues. This has created some family tension in Lonzo, between Lonzo, his brothers, and his father. But I mean, damn, that's kind of sad. It's kind of none of my business, but I guess LeVar Ball being all up in the cameras made it my business. So now I want to know. And you know who probably should have scammed a little better? A student who paid $1.2 million bribe to get into Yale, because they have been kicked out. And so I don't know if we have talked about this a little bit, but Aunt Becky from Full House and some of her friends have used this scamming guy to try to get themselves into college admission, understanding that, hey, if you're listening to this radio show right now and you're in high school, that college admission isn't always merit-based. It's probably not something that anybody had to tell you. However, you still got, you know, if you don't know, if you're just finding that out because your parents can't, you know, because of the news, that's probably because your parents can't afford to bribe you to get into college. Listen, you need to be studying anyways. But also, once they find out that you got bribed to get in, they're going to kick you out. So while Yale isn't going to kick out all of the people who have got in because of legacy or nepotism, they will kick out the new money people who bribed to get themselves in there. And good riddance. Nobody feels bad for you. But now we have to get out the people who are not worthy because they're just not smart enough. But when we get back next Thursday, I have a brand new show for you because this one is over with. Thank you for tuning with me for the entire hour. If you like the show, you can listen to Off the Beaten Path, all the previous episodes on CITR.ca or Mixcloud.com. And if you really like me and you like the music, you can listen on Tuesdays to Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10. This is me, Horsepower, Jamal Steeles, DJ Relly Rels, Homeboy Jules, Malik, and guest every week. I'm out for now.
I'ma pull up on your bitch like, when I hit the slab, call a Uber, maybe cab, then I hit her with the dick like, can't go in too fast, no key, but I make it last. I'ma pull up on your bitch like,
When I hit the slab, call a Uber, maybe cab. Then I hit her with the dick like, tell me what it feel like. Girl, ain't seen your ass since the 12th grade. You still bad as fuck, so ain't shit changed. Remember when your friend with the Benz brought you in and you sat right next to me, so I just kicked it. We ain't never kicked it before. Netflix, Hulu, you pick the show. I know that you got a man, so we'll keep this thing on the low. Sailor Moon t-shirt, yeah, I dig that. Fashion over jeans, got that ass fat. Wanna hit you when you got your head wrapped, so you can get nasty and talk smack. Tell me what you think of me and you. No, you see it cause I see it too. Why you playing? I'm just saying, fall through. You can guess what I'm about to do. Screw, screw. Screw, screw. Pull up on your bitch like, screw, screw. When I hit the slab, call a Uber, maybe cab. Then I hit her with the dick like, screw, screw. Tell me what it feel like. Screw, screw. I'ma pull up. Say, I'ma pull up. Oh, I'ma pull up, pull up on. I'ma pull up on.